There's a lot of different directions that Chicago could go right now. Ryan Poles holds a lot of the cards in his hands.
You know, there's two types of quarterbacks. There's artist.
With the touch of a portrait artist.
And then there's surgeons.
That was surgical.
Ran or scrambled and you know, threw a crazy pass. That's been the artist, the magician.
And that's what Caleb Williams does.
When it's time to be surgical, it's time to be surgical.
It would be a shock if the Chicago Bears did not wind up drafting Caleb Williams.
With the first pick, the Chicago Bears select.
It sure seems like it'll be that artist, that surgeon, Caleb Williams, number one overall. Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Nationwide. We are just 6 days away from the NFL draft in Detroit. Caleb Williams looking like a lock at one. Like we said, no shortage of questions remain about how the rest of the picks will go. Welcome to NFL Live. We're so glad you're with us. Field Yates is here. Mina Kimes, Mel Kiper Jr. as well. Today is very special, though. As part of our NFL Network crossover, NFL Network draft analyst Daniel Jeremiah is with us all show long. We're going to roll through all the most important points of the draft with everyone here. DJ, we are so glad to have you with us today.
Well, I cannot see you, Laura, but I hear you perfectly, and I'm excited to be with you guys, with my friends here. Oh, magically, you're there. Just in time. I see you. Hi, everybody.
It's just like we planned it, right? Okay, let's get right to it, you guys. The Commanders hold the number two pick, and they hosted all four of the top QBs at once this week. That was interesting, along with a number of other draftees. But here's GM Adam Peters explaining all that.
What was cool is while we got to see them all together in a group setting at the Topgolf, which was really fun, and I think everybody had a great time, and it was very beneficial to see everybody in a more relaxed environment. They all got a lot of time individually with their coaches, with us, you know, where they were staggered coming in too, so it wasn't like they were sitting in a room together. They all had their own individual time with everybody, so it worked out really well, and then you got a great blend of that, and then working everybody together, you know, in a fun environment. We feel great about staying at number two. I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where we trade down.
So the Commanders not giving too many hints on who they'll take it to. That makes sense, keeping it close to the vest. And DJ, in your opinion, not predicting here, but which quarterback do you think the Commanders should take at number two overall?
For me, it's Drake May. It's been that way throughout the whole process. And that's not to say I don't like Jaden Daniels. I like Drake May a little bit better. And in this situation with DQ as the head coach, who's been to a Super Bowl with a guy like Matt Ryan, I think there's a lot of similarities when you think about the journey for those players. Matt Ryan didn't play with a whole, you know, unbelievable supporting cast there at Boston College. There were some turnovers. There was some concern about decision making. But what he did have, he had size, he had arm strength, he had elite makeup, intelligence, work ethic, all those things. And I think with Drake May, you check all those same boxes. And the division you play in, the weather you're going to play in that division, I like the bigger, more rugged Drake May for the Commanders.
DJ, they had plenty of time to figure it out. Caleb Williams, we know, has been going number one. They had, obviously, a decision between two quarterbacks here. And Jaden had the clean year. He did everything right. He's got an incredible skill set. Drake May, skill set ideal, but he had some struggles later in the year with his accuracy. So, overall, I'd go with Jaden slightly over Drake May. Drake May, to me, would need to sit for a year. But if he's forced in there, hey, that's what happens in the National Football League. Very rarely are quarterbacks afforded that opportunity. But for me, guys, it's Jaden Daniels. That would be the pick for me at number two.
Well, DJ, sorry for the lack of hospitality from Mel and I, both disagreeing with you and picking Jaden Daniels over Drake May, but pretty compelling case for Jaden Daniels to go number two overall. We can talk about all the great things that each of these players does, but ultimately it feels like you actually have to play 11-on-11 football when you're defending Jaden Daniels. I mean, with quarterbacks who don't have the same level of mobility that he does, and he's the best in this class specifically in that regard, it kind of is like playing at least 11-on-10, 11-on-10.5, but Jaden Daniels this past season stressed defenses so much. When you change just the geometry of the field with his legs, but also a precision passer. Had a breakout year this year as a thrower. So good throwing the football down the field. Led to those 31 combined receiving touchdowns for Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers. Ultimately, it's a good problem for the Washington Commanders to have, and I think the Patriots are in a really good spot at number three if they go quarterback because there is no consolation prize in this year's draft class. But like Mel, I lean towards Jaden over Drake May. Yeah.
All right, I'll make it an even split and side with our guest, Daniel Jeremiah, because I also have a slight preference for May. And I say slight, I think very highly of Jaden as well, and I feel Caleb is the clear number one. But I think with pick number two for the Commanders, you want to take a quarterback who you truly believe can be one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. And when I watch May, I see a lot of the traits that I see amongst those top quarterbacks in the league. The arm talent, the ability to throw deep with touch and make throws from every platform. There is dual threat ability there. He can scramble, pressure mitigation, playmaking outside of structure. When May breaks the pocket, he's looking to throw. I actually view this as probably the biggest point of differentiation between him and Daniels. In the same way that your Mahomes is, your Allens are looking to throw. Lamar Jackson, when they're scrambling, they're looking to throw downfield. There are legitimate concerns about decision-making and accuracy that maybe worry, make you worry that while the ceiling is really high, the floor could be lower than Daniels. I accept that. But I think with May, given that he's a couple years younger, you feel like he's still a little bit earlier in his developmental curve, pardon me, and you can draft him and then potentially reach that ceiling down the road.
And one other thing to put a button on this, look, I think they're both great players. One thing about this Commanders team, they have those second round picks. I sure hope they move back up and get one of these tackles because whichever one of these quarterbacks they take, they have got some work to do on this offensive line.
That's a really good point. By the way, to Mina's point, it's worth noting May's only 21 years old. Jaden Daniels is 23. Not that much difference, but he still is younger. All right, so we looked at two every which way. Let's go to the third overall pick with the Patriots. And here's what Director of Scouting Elliot Wolf had to say about the possibility of a trade.
We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft, and you know we're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and you know strike, if the board kind of recommends it, then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
So they're not ruling out a trade at three. Mina, is a trade back to accumulate talent a better option than taking the third quarterback off the board for the Patriots?
I see the case for it. I really do. I've made the case for it with other teams trading back. In fact, I've argued that the Giants shouldn't trade up for a reason that I think a lot of people could also apply to the Patriots, which is there are so many issues on this roster on the offensive side of the ball, offensive tackle and receiver. Most notably, there is a concern that if you draft a quarterback instead of amassing draft capital, you're putting him in a difficult situation. However, there's that theoretical sort of debate about team building and roster construction and approaching the draft. And then there's sort of where the rubber meets the road, which is we're talking about actual players. And I view these three quarterbacks in the top three as all quarterbacks who are worth taking there. If it wasn't that case, I would agree that they should, or I would argue that they should trade down. But I believe whether it's Daniels or May, by the way, coming off our last conversation, both are worth staying put. Even if it means you have to sit them for a while or you have to be aggressive elsewhere in the draft in terms of trying to add talent around them on offense.
I mean, I was there last year, and I've been there a bunch in that building, you know, doing the Charger games over the years. Last year, the building was half empty. There was absolutely no enthusiasm in the stadium, and they scored exactly 0 points the day that I was there. They've got to get some life into this team and into this organization and some hope, and that comes with a quarterback. So I don't necessarily think they have to take one at three. They can get cute. They can move back. They've got to take somebody. You've got to give some hope to this franchise and to this city. The J.J. McCarthy, if that's one that they really, really like and they don't want to take him there at three, they can move around a little bit and come away with him and some extra picks. That's fine. But if they just go out there as is at the quarterback position next year, that's going to be not only a deflated building, that's going to be a deflated city with where that team is right now.
Yeah, DJ, I think you, me, and Mina probably are all aligned on this, where the Patriots should be taking a quarterback at some point in this draft, but I continue to believe they should just do it at pick number three. We all seem to be in alignment that these three quarterbacks merit top three pick consideration, and I think the risk that you can run in moving down the board, which is offset in part by the idea that you're going to be getting a ton of extra picks, is let's say the Patriots move back with the Vikings, so we all know have an interest in moving up the board. They would then acquire picks 11, probably 23, and probably a 2025 first-round pick next year. That could be in the 20s if Minnesota is as good as I think they believe they can be if they have a rookie quarterback that they prefer under center. And for the Patriots, well, I don't know that this team is scheduled to be a playoff contender next year, Laura. There are other teams around the NFL that have shown us you can scrape your way to 5, 6, 7 wins. The Giants did so this year with a carousel at quarterback. And then a year from now, in the 2025 class, you're making the same calls up the board that teams are currently making to you, picking at number 3 and having to pay that same cost. So I would stand pat at number 3, take whichever of those 3 quarterbacks is available, and then work like crazy throughout the rest of the draft to get wide receivers and pass protectors.
There's a lot they need to fill. We have pointed this out many times in the show, but I think it's worth pointing out again. They did sign Jacoby Brissett, who has experience there, but also is an experienced backup who can be a starter. If they needed to sit somebody, he's a great one to sit behind. We're just getting started on NFL. I know, we love Jacoby. 11 picks in this year's draft. We're going to talk about the Cardinals, why it's a big turnaround possibility for Arizona if they play their cards right. Plus, our analysts, including Daniel Jeremiah, who is joining us this entire show, they're going to suggest realistic trade proposals for a quarterback in the draft, including a blockbuster proposal for Jaden Daniels. Find out which team Field thinks could make that call next. We're getting spicy. NFL Live is presented by Nationwide.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by Nationwide. We're carrying on here with all of the most important picks. A lot of them happened early on. How about the Cardinals holding the number 4 overall pick in next week's NFL draft? Here's GM Monty Austin-Ford on his philosophy about making draft night trades.
I think the way I look at it is like, guys, I love my house. I love where I live, okay? My wife loves where we live. If all of a sudden there's a knock on my door and someone's going to offer me something and I'm going to look and see what they're offering me. And if I open that up and it's something I'm not expecting, hey, Shannon, let's go pack up. It's time to roll.
Pack it on up. We've seen Monty Austin-Ford willing to move into and out of houses a couple times in one draft. Remember last year they traded out of the 3rd overall pick and then back up to number 6 overall. Pretty clever. Mel, what should the Cardinals do? Excuse me, Mina, what should the Cardinals do with that number 4 pick this year?
Yeah, I've changed my mind on this question, which I think is a really fascinating one, because as you guys know, I'm usually team trade down. I was in agreement with the Cardinals' decision last year to trade with the Texans, but knowing how that worked out, the Texans being better than anyone could have anticipated and the pick not being as valuable, I still think it was good process. And I don't think it would be bad process for them to trade down, given all of the needs on their roster and how deep this receiving class and offensive, well, they don't need offensive tackle, but there's other positions that I think they could address. That said, I think they should just stay and take Marvin Harrison Jr. for a number of reasons. It seems to me one of those instances where need meets talent meets the value proposition. I think Harrison Jr. is as close to a can't-miss prospect as it gets. He is not scheme dependent at all. He is like a wide receiver built in a lab that you can just line up and tell to go win week after week after week. And those receivers, that type, that profile of receiver, Laura, they're making over $25 million a year. So to be able to get a player like that with the level of conviction I believe they should have in him, knowing that you're saving that kind of money, it just seems like a no-brainer, especially given all the draft capital they have this year.
I mean, it feels like not that long ago when Larry Fitzgerald became an Arizona Cardinal with the third pick overall. And now you talk about the fourth pick and Marvin Harrison Jr. I will say this. I'm big in the willing and dealing. I'm like Monty Hall, let's make a deal. Not Monty Oxenfort, Monty Hall, let's make a deal. I always loved it. And I would do it here, but it would only be in one way. One thing would have to happen for me. I got to guarantee I can get one of those three receivers. I cannot lose Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Dunze, because there are three elite receivers in this draft, and there's a lot of good to very good receivers. There are only three studs, three great ones. So I'm getting one of these three, or I'm staying at four and taking Marvin Harrison Jr. He's special. He's got the same attitude as Dad did. Future Hall of Famer once he got to the Colts. It was he and Peyton Manning working hours and hours to be great. That's what Marvin Harrison Jr. will do. So if I can get a deal that guarantees me one of the three, because you're splitting hairs between those top three. I love Odunze. He was my third guy. They're all the same grade. One's at three, one's at four, one's at five, one on the big board. But if I can't guarantee that, I am not making that move.
Yeah, so Mel, those two scenarios would likely be 4-6 if the Giants want to move up. Or a scenario where you move further down the board, but you already had that trade up already in your back pocket, kind of like what they did last year, as Mina already referenced. 3-12-6, that sixth overall pick was Paris Johnson Jr. Regardless of whether they trade up, down, somewhere in between, the Cardinals have a chance to absolutely reshape the franchise. They have six of the first 90 selections in this year's drafts. And before every first draft show, Mel likes to remind me, hey, young Fielding Yates, the draft is not end of the first round. He got plenty of picks beyond that. So the Cardinals have a chance, I think, legitimately to add three starters in the first 36 selections that could be day one impact players regardless of position. I certainly think wide receiver needs to be checked off. They need to continue to address the secondary. They need a big boost in the pass rush. And then pretty much anywhere along the offensive line they can find depth, I think, should be in play. Mm. But six draft picks in the first 90 for a team that feels like it has its franchise quarterback, that screams the potential for this team to be on the rise in a hurry if this draft goes right.
I love it. Mina, I feel like you're cooking up a joke over there. Something's funny.
Oh, Field just named every position. I mean, the Cardinals. That's what I was like. I mean, it's true. He's right.
They need it all. Guys, I have a proposal. Yeah. Mel, I know you've done so much in the world of analyzing the draft, but could we find a team to let Mel just make all of their picks? Like, at least in the first two rounds. Mel wants to wheel and deal. He wants to do all that. Like, somebody, which team wants to do this? It would go really well.
Laura, what I would like to do, and Mina and Field can appreciate, I would just like to take all the, give me 20 undrafted free agents I can bring to your team. I'll sit there, I'll wait it all out, I'll sit through day three, and after day three,
like
I want to bring 15 to 20 undrafted free agents to my team. I'll do it every year. I guarantee you three of those four, maybe five of those guys would be like extra draft picks.
Well, that's smart.
Let's
make this happen.
I've tried. I can't tell you how many times I've tried during this draft process to stump Mel with a sleeper and say, Mel, any chance you've watched this guy from, like, Directional State Tech? And Mel's like, oh, yeah. You know, his uncle was a great player at Georgia State. You know, his cousin was a three-star recruit. He had 25 games over his three-year career with at least 15 receiving yards. I'm just like, how does this brain work? I wish I had Mel Kiper's brain.
It's an incredible brain. Yeah, give us some brain power, Mel. Yeah. We got more coming your way here on NFL Live. Don't go anywhere. Daniel Jeremiah joins us once again next as we continue our NFL Network crossover. The Broncos still looking for their QB1 after Russell Wilson's departure. How much should they give away trading up maybe to get their guy in the draft? Stay tuned to hear Mina's trade proposal. She's wheeling and dealing next on NFL Live. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by Nationwide. Time for draft night drills, also presented by Nationwide, and we're going to have some fun creating trade-up scenarios. Why not? Some of the teams that could be seeking quarterbacks in the draft. So the Giants, they're up first in our little game here. They hold the 6th overall pick. DJ, give me a trade scenario where the Giants move up to get a quarterback.
Well, I'm going to say 3 because I don't think Washington's going to gift wrap a quarterback for a team inside their division. So let's get to 3 with the New England Patriots. And let's say Drake May is there. That's the target for the New York Giants. It's going to cost them 47, their second round pick this year. And let's put next year's second round pick in there as well. You don't have to part with a future one. I think that that's a situation where New England, if they're a J.J. McCarthy team, is able to get some extra picks and still get a quarterback that they really like there at 6. So Drake May, why make this move if you're the Giants? To me, it's an upgrade. It's an upgrade over Daniel Jones. It's going to provide a little jolt of energy into this franchise. I just think Brian Daboll wants more. They were so bad statistically last year. Obviously, Daniel gets hurt. But they have to be more dynamic in the passing game. We've been talking about the receivers and the firepower they can add outside. They could also just upgrade at the quarterback position, which this trade would represent.
Yeah, you guys know that I think the Patriots should stick and take May. We talked about it at the top of the show. But from the Giants' perspective, I would absolutely make this call. I do not love the idea of them trading up for J.J. McCarthy, but Drake May, I think, is the kind of quarterback you do trade up for because of his ceiling and the potential to upgrade, as Daniel said, on Daniel Jones in a number of areas, one of which is Drake May loves to attack downfield. Last year, the year before last year, even though the Giants' offense was much improved, they still ranked near the bottom of the NFL in explosive passing plays. That would not be the case if Drake May is their quarterback. I also think Brian Daboll would do an excellent job of tapping into his athleticism. And I would go back, by the way, to the work he did with Josh Allen in Buffalo, developing him as a quarterback from year 1 to 2 to 3. I think you could see a similar trajectory with him and Drake May.
And you think about Jalen Hyatt speeding down the field, too. Great way to stretch the field, potentially. Daniel Jones, by the way, doesn't have any guaranteed money in his contract after this upcoming season. Could be even more incentive there for the Giants. Let's go to the Vikings, another opportunity to do a little trade here. They have the 11th and 23rd picks in the first round. So, Mel, give me a trade scenario where the Vikings move up to get a quarterback. What does it look like?
Yeah, you keep hearing a lot of it would be Drake May. Drake May coached by Josh McCown, but if he's off the board, obviously you got to go somewhere else if you can't go up and get him, and that would be J.J. McCarthy. Now, I think it's too rich for me. I'm at 15 on the board. Field knows that. I think when you look at Jim Harbaugh building it up, hey, J.J.'s the best player in the draft, and Jim would benefit from all the hype and all the build-up and get those extra picks and move down and benefit this Charger roster who needs a right tackle, could benefit from the depth at wide receiver and pick up a pick next year and get that draft capital going. So Jim allows the team to get his quarterback, and he benefits from all his hype surrounding his quarterback that he produced this year with the national title and a 27-1 record. So if I'm the Vikings, that would be the trade partner if they can't go up and get Drake May.
Yeah, Mel, it's far too logical for the Vikings to move up to the point that I'm now expecting them to. If they don't, I would be borderline shocked. That being said, while I, like you, don't have J.J. McCarthy ranked inside my top 5 prospect, he's actually a little bit further down my big board at number 18 overall. I've come to accept that the NFL has greater reverence for the prospect that J.J. McCarthy is than I do at this stage of his career. And part of the reason why I would be more comfortable if I'm Minnesota making this maneuver is that, well, it's never that easy for a rookie quarterback. It's a pretty darn good set of circumstances for a rookie quarterback to walk into, both from a head coach and general coaching staff standpoint, Kevin O'Connell, and certainly the entire staff he has there on the offensive side of the ball. Plus, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson with 2 tackles, and Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill. That's not a bad starting point with Aaron Jones in the backfield for J.J. McCarthy to have a relatively smooth transition into the NFL.
Yeah, one of the better potential starting points of any of these quarterbacks that we're talking about, whoever ends up with the Vikings, they do in fact trade up to get a quarterback or maybe stay pat. Let's go to the Broncos. They sit behind the Vikings at number 12. They got Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci currently on the roster. So, Mina, give me a trade scenario where the Broncos move up to get a quarterback. You know Sean Payton would get excited about this.
Yeah, my trade's a little less enticing than the Vikings trade. I'm not giving up more than an additional first in addition to pick 12, as well as a couple thirds. The Broncos don't have their second round pick this year, so I am throwing in the 4th round pick In fantasy, we call this like the poo-poo platter, but it's what we got. So we're offering it to the Broncos. And obviously the Vikings trade was one they would prefer, but I still think they would take this, Daniel, because moving down to 12, you can still take a very good offensive lineman if that's the route they want to go, and there's so many other positions they need to address. From Denver's perspective, I actually think Sean Payton wouldn't mind having an offense, frankly, that's pretty similar to what we saw J.J. McCarthy run at Michigan, which is to say, really heavy emphasis on the run, a lot of play action. I think he would be happy to have a quarterback after the last year who is more likely to throw over the middle of the field, accurate, can use his mobility. So I think Payton would be drawn to his qualities.
I want to ask Mina one question on this, though, and that is the question that Jim Harbaugh is going to get asked at the press conference, which is, you told us J.J. McCarthy should be the first pick in the draft. He's the best player in college football. And you just gift-wrapped him to a team inside your own division. So which is it, Jim?
Yeah. I don't know. Jim would say, well, you know, I say a lot of things, Daniel. But I'm here to run a football team and amass players.
Well, I was actually just...
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, sorry, we had the delay get us there a little bit. I was actually still distracted by poo-poo platter, but we're going to continue on.
I've made many of those offers in my days.
I know, you're notorious for that. Right behind the Broncos, the Raiders hold the 13th overall pick, and they have Gardner Minshew and, Aiden O'Connell in that quarterback room. Field, give me a scenario where the Raiders move up for a quarterback.
Okay, so Mina just offered the poo-poo platter. I'm offering Mel the offer he can't refuse. Las Vegas Raiders moving up from 13 to 2, offering the Washington Commanders number 13, the first-round pick next year, the first-round pick in 2026, plus a second-round pick this year, Mel. This
Gotta
is the move.
It.
This is the Trey Lance package plus to go up two additional spots relative to where San Francisco went up from 12 to 3. We're going from 13 to 2. We're getting Jaden Daniels. We're reuniting him with Antonio Pierce, who, of course, was on the staff and influential in his decision to go to Arizona State, and giving Las Vegas the quarterback that they believe can be the architect of a dynamic offense with a great wide receiver duo. And where they played defense down the stretch last year, we can be a contender already in the AFC West.
Lot to unpack there, guys. I will go to Washington first. If they had their quarterback, I'd say, are you kidding me? Let's make that move. If they had the quarterback, they don't, right? So you're going to give up Jaden Daniels, who we think can be great, right? We have comps to Lamar Jackson and Randall Cunningham. And you're going to let the Raiders get them, who need them because they're in a division with Mahomes, right? And they got all those great quarterbacks like Josh Allen and all of them to deal with in the AFC. And if you told me, if somebody there today, is anybody a psychic? Is any psychics on board? There's a psychic that can tell me that Michael Pratt from Tulane. Yeah. Okay, Michael Pratt, I think you probably are, Laura. Is Michael Pratt from Tulane? Is Keaton Slovis from BYU, right? Ooh. Is somebody going to be Brock Purdy? Is there's a Brock Purdy out there, and I'm Washington, hey, sign me up. Yeah. But I'm not good enough to predict. I don't think anybody's good enough to predict that. So despite the Hall, and I'm an advocate for the Hall, and I'm Monty Hall, and I love it, right? I'm not making that move if I'm Washington. I'm taking Jaden Daniels. There's no way I'm giving Jaden to Antonio Pierce, who Arizona loves him. Jaden, too bad. This is the NFL. You don't pick where you go, okay? Yeah. You're going to be a Washington Commander.
Yeah.
End
of
story.
Yeah, Adam Peters, the Commander's GM, who we heard from at the beginning of the show, said, I don't really envision any scenarios or too many scenarios where we do move down. I will say this. Well, I think that Washington would still hold its ground and rebuff this offer for these three first-round picks plus a second, Laura. It at least would generate a conversation within the building just because of the significant compensation attached to it. But Washington would find itself in a new conundrum, which would be that we already traded away Sam Howell this offseason. We only have Marcus Mariota as a credible starting quarterback option going into next year. And some would say that is no longer a credible starting quarterback option. Are we going to miss out on one of those first six quarterbacks in the draft if we don't love one of them that might be there at 13 and we don't want to take one in the second round? We might find ourselves with no quarterback option that we prefer. So you end up keeping the number two overall pick and take the player, whether it's Drake May, whether it's Jaden Daniels, that you feel like can be at the control panel of your franchise for the next decade plus.
Yeah, Field, I liked the haul you had there, but as you think about the potential risk, it does make you say, ooh, how could you pass up on him at two? Either way, that Keaton Slovis with the crystal ball, Mel, I don't know. If anyone has a crystal ball here, it's probably Mel. We got more coming your way here on NFL Live. You don't want to miss it. So many teams looking for quarterbacks. How high could Michael Penix Jr. go in the draft? Well, Mel is going to tell us his draft range for Penix next. It's really good. We'll be right back on NFL Live. Stay with us.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
The UFL season continues, and here's the week four schedule. Saturday, the Showboats square off against the Battlehawks at 12:30 Eastern on ABC. And at 7 on Fox, the Defenders take on the Stallions. And it's the Panthers taking on the Brahmas Sunday on FS1, and the Renegades and the Roughnecks. The ABC game can also be seen on ESPN+. Time for Top Stories, brought to you by Sleep Number. Michael Penix Jr. is one of the most polarizing prospects in this draft class. He dealt with multiple significant injuries during four seasons at Indiana, but played in every game over the last two seasons at Washington and lit it up. Daniel Jeremiah has Penix going in the first round with the 13th pick to the Raiders. Field Yates also has Penix going to the Raiders, but in the second round. And then Mel Kiper Jr. has Penix going to the Rams in the second round. DJ joining us here as part of our NFL Network crossover. Love having you here, DJ. And you, Mel, and Field have a wide range for Penix there. Why such a big range of possibilities?
Yeah, this is something that Mel and I were talking about the other day, which is it's a challenge of how you stack players, how you rank them with how you see them versus where you think they might eventually go. So for me, he's like my 34th overall player, but I look at each situation individually, and you look at the Raiders, and I just look at who they have at the quarterback position. I can't imagine they're going to run it out there next year with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. I don't see that happening. I think they've got to do something here. So we kicked around the ideas. We've talked about it. Field discussed it. Do you trade up to try and go after Jaden Daniels, swing for the fences there? Of course. But if that doesn't work out, you're sitting there at 13. You have to ask yourself the question, is Jaden Daniels an upgrade over what we have in our building at this position? And the way I see it, the way I look at it, I think that Michael Penix is a clear upgrade over what they have right there at the position at 13.
Yeah, D, they're in a lot of pressure, under a lot of pressure in that division. He could be under a lot of pressure once he's in the NFL to stay healthy. Mm. The offensive line has to be built up. You were talking about Washington, right? The Raiders have to build that offensive line up as well. Michael Penix Jr. had injury issues at Indiana. Shoulder, knee, right? That was against the AOGs. Now you're in the NFL. It's a different ballgame entirely. So the offensive line has to protect him from that injury and give him the clean pocket where he can shine and throw accurate strikes to all levels. So if you are the Raiders and you make that move to take Michael Penix Jr. at 13, do exactly what Daniel Jeremiah said Washington has to do. Fortify that offensive line, keep him upright, healthy, and let him pick defenses apart with that strong arm. He has that big hand. That ball explodes out of that hand.
Yeah, I mean, just as Mel's saying, when he's healthy, Mina, the talent is undeniably so much fun to watch. What kind of offense would you like to see him in at the next level?
A few things come to mind. Number one, lots of play action. At UW, when they use play action, Michael Penix Jr., second amongst all college quarterbacks in QBR, without play action, that dropped to 41st. Mel talked about sort of protecting him. I think it allows him to buy a little bit, or in college rather, allowed him to buy a little bit more time for him, and that's something he'll need at the pro level as well, because he does like to attack downfield. And to that end, I think you want an offense where you have playmakers who can win outside the numbers. Michael Penix Jr. has never seen a whole shot he did not want to attempt if Davante Adams is on the other end of that. I'm feeling pretty good about it, which is part of the reason why I like the Raiders fit, because I think the skill players align with Michael Penix Jr.'s talents. And of course, Daniel Jeremiah loves to compare Rome Odunze to Davante Adams, so it's very easy to imagine.
You know, one game or two game doesn't define a player's career or outlook, but it's so fascinating because so often the two games that come up when you're discussing with people around the NFL Mike Penix Jr.'s outlook are the final two games of his college career, which went very differently, right? This game against Texas was a masterclass in in-pocket navigation and finding ways to subtly dodge pressure and deliver those strikes down the field. As you saw, each of those last two throws are in tight windows. The beauty of Michael Penix was on display in the semifinals. And then things kind of came back down to earth against Michigan. If you're one of those people that has some doubts, that is dubious that Mike Penix Jr. deserves to be a first-round pick, it would be because you saw what happened when the protection was not at the same level as it was against Texas in that semifinals game. So he's such an interesting prospect in so many different ways. I do think ultimately, and my last mock draft had him going in the second round, that there is a real shot in the first round, because so often the draft is not about what you would like to do, it's what you need to do.
Right.
And you can't afford to wait or get cute with quarterbacks, because often you see them fall by the wayside, slip out of your grip, and then you have serious remorse.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned those two games in the college football playoff being the spotlighted games. It makes sense, but it's worth noting that Penix became the first FBS player with 4,500 passing yards in consecutive seasons since Patrick Mahomes in 2015 and 2016. When he was healthy, that's what he was doing. All right, still to come on NFL Live, we're going to put DJ to the test with some hard-hitting draft questions. You ready, DJ? Like, who is the most overrated player in the draft? You don't want to miss what he has to say next. Putting him on the hot seat. We'll be right back on NFL Live. Glad you're with us today on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NFL Live is presented by Nationwide and in part by Astepro Allergy, nasal allergy relief that starts working in 30 minutes. So much fun with Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network joining us all show long, but we couldn't let him go without a round of Ask DJ. So Field, you're up first. Ask DJ anything you want.
Yeah, DJ, first time question asker, but of course, longtime fan. I may be asking this partly for selfish reasons, but who's been the most difficult player for you to evaluate during this process?
Oh, I love that question. I'll say Chris Jenkins from Michigan.
Good one.
He's a specimen. He's so strong. He's so powerful. You just don't get a chance to see him make many plays in this defense. They blow out everybody they play, so the play count's down a little bit. And then as a dominant run defender, yes, but you just don't get a chance to see him cut it loose as a pass rusher very often. So I know the ability's there. He's just a difficult evaluation.
Yeah, DJ, I think to like 20 years ago, this guy might have been like a top 15 pick, right? When those schemes like the Steelers playing that vaunted 3-4 defense up front, guys who just needed to take up space for the linebackers, Chris Jenkins might have been a lock for one of those first-round picks. But I'm with you. Only 2.5 sacks this past season. I think he's a better pro player than he was a college producer, but I'm having a hard time pegging a range myself.
Mina, you're up next with Ask DJ. Go ahead.
Okay, so DJ, I don't think I've seen a single mock draft that doesn't have the Falcons taking Dallas Turner at 8. It's like one of those things that everyone's just kind of assuming is going to happen. He's going to be the first defensive player on the board, off the board. I want to throw you a possibility, though. If you're the Falcons and you get a call from a team looking to trade up because they want to leapfrog the Jets to get Rome Odunze, let's say, leapfrog the Jets or the Bears, it could be the Jets, it could be the Colts, it could be the Steelers at different points. Do you consider it if you believe that Turner isn't significantly better than maybe some of the other pass rushers who might be available later in the draft like Leo Tulatu or Jared Verse?
Yeah, and I would even throw Chop Robinson in there, and I would also throw, even though looking and talking about edge guys, Byron Murphy as a defensive tackle. I think when you have that collection of players, I don't think Dallas Turner has so separated himself from those guys that you wouldn't be interested in taking a package that gets you back you know, 5-6 spots. You're going to come away with one of those players. They're going to be impact, and then you're going to have the extra resources to fill out the rest of your roster, you know, around Kirk Cousins. So I absolutely would field that phone call, and I think they will get a phone call, not only because the Roma Dunze is someone that's pegged at 9-10. Also, 9-10 are potential tackle teams. So if you want to get up there and get that second tackle,
yeah,
I think the eighth pick is where you got to go.
I totally agree, in part because I have trouble actually ranking the top three edge rushers. I do have Turner as my edge one, but I don't think Latu and Verse all that are that far off. But to your point, DJ, it kind of comes down to how far down they're willing to go. Like, if you're talking about a team where suddenly you're like the Steelers at 20, Buffalo at 28, then you get a little bit nervous because you do still want to get a blue chip defensive player, to your point.
Let's go to Mel next. What's your question for Ask DJ?
Daniel, I want you to blend your mock drafts, which is what you're hearing, with your ratings and your rankings and how you really feel the eye in the sky never lies. What is Daniel Jeremiah? How do you rate these guys? So I want to know, from that standpoint, the most overrated player in this draft and the most underrated player, and Daniel Jeremiah's opinion.
I love that this is coming from you, Mel, because I've always wondered how to answer a question as we are raters of players, who we think is overrated and who we think are underrated. I feel like we're telling on ourselves when we do this, Mel. But I'm going to go, look, Tavondre Sweat early on in the process was absolutely getting top 50 love. He was getting some first round attention. Now, things have not gone his way, and he made a poor decision, got in some off-the-field trouble, and that's caused people to say he's going to slide. I never personally thought he should have been up there in the first place. I just didn't see him as an interior pass rusher, which I don't know how early you're going to take sit-and-clog defensive tackles in the draft. So that one was one for me on maybe a little overrated. When I think of underrated, I Ricky Pearsall, his tape's really good. You go to the Senior Bowl and watch him move and work out there. You go through the rest of the entire offseason. This guy runs pristine routes. He's got unbelievable hands. He can work in the middle of the field. He can work over the top. He's got speed. I'm sitting here going, like, are we missing it on this guy? Is this someone that we look up in the middle of the season next year and he's leading all rookies in catches and yards? That wouldn't surprise me. I'm a fan of his game and think we might be undervaluing him a little bit.
And a point about Tavondre Sweat, and Field and I have talked a lot about that Texas interior. Back in the 80s and 90s, it had been a high pick. You know, Gilbert Brown is kind of the comp if you want that big body, free up your linebackers to flow the football. But now it's about penetration. It'll be really interesting to see if he gets in that third, fourth round mix. But in terms of underrated, I'm with you on wide receiver. Somebody's sliding through the cracks. Mm. Somebody's going to drop further than they really should. Ricky Pearsall, you got Ladd McConkey, you got Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk. Field Yates loves Jalen Polk. I love Jalen McMillan, DJ. I think he's underrated. Actually, 2 years ago in 2022, he was healthy. He had more receptions than Romo Dunze. They had more touchdowns than Romo Dunze. And average per catch was very similar. Then he was banged up this year. Then people say he's an overachiever. Well, he ran 4.47, vertical 37 inches. So to me, no, he's not an overachiever. He's just a heck of a route runner and a good receiver who catches everything. So I'm with you on Pearsall. What do you think of DJ? Second, like mid-second round, early second round for Pearsall? I'm thinking about mid to late second round for Jalen McMillan.
Yeah, one note on Pearsall too that's worth reminding people of is the offense changed so many times during his time at Florida. There wasn't a lot of opportunity to get comfortable. You didn't have a lot of continuity with quarterback play as well. So I think maybe at the next level he's got a good shot. It's my turn to ask my question here. I'm not going to say this is best for last, but I will say, DJ, thanks, Field. Running backs, we haven't talked a lot about them. Mina and I were actually talking about this on text earlier today, and some of that has to do with the running back market and all that, but it makes you think there are some teams that are going to need to get running backs in this draft. What are your thoughts on a team that needs an instant contributor there, and who could it be?
Well, I don't think the Dallas Cowboys starter is on the roster right now, so they would jump to the front of the list. And then it becomes, do you want to be at the front of the running back line in the second round, or do you want to take the chance that in the third round you still have one of those top-tier guys that you like? That's going to be the running back window. I look at Marshawn Lloyd from USC. I think he's a plug-and-play guy. He's sturdy. He's strong. He can handle the load, and he can also catch the ball out of the backfield. So I like that fit with him. Going from USC to the Dallas Cowboys, I think he goes right back in to the starting lineup. And Laura, as I've got you here, Orlovsky just takes the day off, huh?
I mean, come on. What is
his excuse for this? He talks, we got to work together. We got to do all this stuff. And then it's like, where is he? Yeah. I don't see him.
How about Dan tweeting out FOMO? Like, Dan, you could have been here. You know, it was your choice. He is on a family vacation, but what are you going to do?
Vacation,
go ahead.
6 days before the draft. Are you kidding me?
Only Orlovsky.
DJ, I echo the thoughts on the Cowboys not having their starting running back on their roster, 56, where they currently pick in the second round. It would be a classic Jerry Jones pick to take a player like Jonathan Brooks, who tore his ACL November 11 for the Texas Longhorns. A name a little bit further down the board that I find myself loving every time I watch him. A little bit older of a prospect, but a heck of a journey. Ray Davis from Kentucky. Mm. He's going to be 25 during his rookie season. I call him a tunnel runner, which is this new scouting term I decided to make up during this process. I feel like he hits the hole, and then just like a tunnel builds around him. And next thing you know, he's 12 yards down the field. Really made some of those SEC defenses paid over the past three seasons at Vanderbilt in Kentucky. Wouldn't surprise me if the league likes him a little bit more, maybe the public realizes.
Great human being, too. And, yeah, a tunnel, like, right to the end zone. Yeah. We got time for one more thing before we go. We've been talking about a lot of college prospects on today's show. We got one more shout out for DJ. This is his college tape from App State. You're gonna see the deep ball coverage under pressure. Look at that. Keeper on the option.
Penix who?
Right here. Come on, DJ. We love it. Look at him. Oh my goodness. Hey, by the way.
No, I didn't know he could wiggle like that.
He had a lot of
those movement abilities.
There's the Broncos quarterback solution right there.
It's DJ.
My knee's hurt.
Thanks, DJ, joining us all show. You know, Field will be on the ABC coverage of the
Jake
draft.
DeLong.
Mel is on ESPN. You can watch DJ all 3 days on NFL Network's coverage. We'll see you tomorrow.
Wait, we won't.